on the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Today on The Grave Talks, a family of spirits. Part two of our conversation about the Mason House Inn in Benton Sport, Iowa. I was going to ask you, since you have documented this for so long, have you gone back and looked at the journals and seen some similarities or some connection between different entries over the years? Maybe something you've put together because you looked back through the journals and went, aha, I never thought of that till I reread this.
No, because okay. Once I write it, I write. I don't rewrite it.
You don't go back and reread.
I just keep going. The early ones where we didn't know what was going on. And so we were just kind of guessing and making names up for people like Frank. We called him Mr. Foggy Body because he would just be ahead in this column of fog. So we called him Mr. Foggy Body. And then later, one of our grandkids saw him in a picture. And he says, that's the man I saw. Well, then we could research who that was in the picture, and it was Frank Clark. And that was Mary Mason Clark's husband. And I've personally seen him 14 times over the years.
Really?
Yeah. He'll just be walking down the hall or sitting in a chair or lounging in the parlor. One time, Chuck and I were making a bedroom, and he walked into the room. I was like, you going to help make a bed, Frank? And he laughed.
You know, when you, the two of you, when you talk about it, you like that, you just kind of giggle. He walks in the room. I think I would have been scared to death at that moment. I like to think I wouldn't be, but I also know myself that, like, I probably would have jumped out the window or something. But you two, did you just get so used to it?
Yeah, just kind of got used to it, and who we knew who he was and why he's there. And, you know, a lot of times they're just kind of doing their own thing and they're not even aware of us. Like, he walked into the room, but he probably didn't even know that we were in there. And they're just as surprised to see us as we are to see them.
And we treat them as family and they treat us as family. So there's a lot of respect going back and forth. And one of the things that's kind of people are amazed at, some people are afraid to come to the inn because they don't want to have an experience. Our spirits are very respectful. Those that come to the inn wine experience, if they're receptive and open to it, will probably get an experience. Those that don't want it, the spirits know that. And all you have to do is say, leave me alone, and your room's off limits and nothing will happen because they don't want anybody being run around and scared. The atmosphere is like coming to grandma's house. That's the feeling you get when you walk in. And that's the feeling that they present.
Because of the way you have respect for them, that it's kind of grown into a mutual thing. And maybe yes. It hadn't been like that before, but you've been there so long.
Right. The last two owners didn't accept him. The last owner was a retired pastor, and he tried to exercise them out. And that didn't go over very well. So
how did that go when he tried to do that?
It didn't go well. they were not on a very cordial response with the previous owners. But what they basically said, they picked us because we would be receptive. They knew our personalities. And right after we got to the inn, things started happening, and they were testing us to see how we'd accept it. And once we accepted it and we just went on with it, they knew that we were the ones for them. And the number of spirits have grown exponentially because of that, because they go out and get family and friends, and others come and know that it's basically a re- It's a it's a vacation site for the spirit world. And well, they come and visit.
Yeah, and when you think about it, it was used as an inn, so people came and went all the time.
It was always a public building, yes. Mm-hmm.
That when it was a hospital, people came in there for reasons. Underground Railroad, people were there, and then they left, you know. So I could see how people could be drawn back to it as well.
Yes.
Spirits, I should say. Spirits could be drawn back to it as well.
The neat part is we've gotten to know them personally and their lives. And as I say, we treat them as family and we've come to respect them that way.
And everybody I talk to says that is kind of the key, is that respect for them. And if you have the respect for them, you'll get it back. Instead of, you know, that taunting them, and you see it a lot on TV shows and stuff.
That's for dramatic principles, and it's not reality. We do not allow people to do that at the inn.
In fact, our spirits say you have to be cordial or they'll just leave and they get nothing. They say please and thank you and ask politely. You know, if they start demanding and all that, they just leave.
But then that starts with the two of you and the atmosphere that you've created. Really?
Correct. I think so. I think so.
Now, over the years, since you've got this kind of rapport with them, not kind of, you definitely have a rapport with them. Has there been some things that really surprised you that have happened there, or you encountered something that you hadn't experienced before? Because it sounds to me like mostly everyone's pretty friendly there.
They are friendly. One thing that did surprise me was that they are aware of what's going on in the house. Because we had a flood in 2008, and we had moved all the furniture from the front bedrooms and the parlor upstairs, and we were sleeping on a mattress on the floor in the first bedroom because that's the one that would flood first and we would know. And so in the middle of the night, I was awakened by a girl who said, "You need to wake up. I can't hear the pump." And I sat up and she's wearing a white nightgown and her name was Anna. And she says, "I can't hear the pump. You need to check it." So I went downstairs and the sump pump had fallen over and was just spewing in circles. And we had gotten about 6 inches of water down there. And if she hadn't awoke me up, we would have lost all the hot water heaters and the furnace and everything.
That gave me goosebumps.
I know. And it amazed me that she was aware enough of what was going on, that she knew to warn me.
And was helping you.
Yes.
You know, like, this is not good. Get down there and check right away.
Yes.
I was reading, and once again, I never know when I read stories online if they're true or not, but there was somebody, somewhere I'd read that there was they're doing some renovations there. They said it was Mary Mason Clark, and she didn't like the renovations they were doing, and they thought she was tearing the wallpaper off the walls because she was unhappy?
Yes. The owners before us, they were putting up wallpaper in the room that was Mary's parents' room, and they had torn off the wallpaper that her parents had put up. So, you know, that was pretty old, and they had put up wallpaper, and in the morning it was all peeled down. And they blamed it on the glue, and they re-glued it and put it all back up. In the morning it was peeled down. And there was a sample book that had been on the table, and they found it on the floor, turned to a certain page. So they bought that wallpaper and put it up, and it stayed.
Hopefully they liked the wallpaper okay, since they didn't seem to have a choice.
That by the time we got there, that wallpaper was pretty sad, and it was ripping and coming down, and we tried to glue it back up, but it was so fragile and brittle, it just shattered. And so we talked to Mary, and we said that we had to re-wallpaper, and we wanted her to pick the wallpaper, so we only had to do it one time. So we laid out different samples, and she picked what she wanted, so it has stayed up.
Now, how did she let you know? Did she put one on the ground?
With the pendulum.
Okay.
I use the pendulum to talk to her.
Okay.
And so I would hold the pendulum over each sample, and then she said, well, she was saying no, 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 no. And I said, well, I guess I'll have to ask Frank then. And she said, no, no. And then she went back, and then she said yes on one of them. So that's how she picked it.
With you two selling the inn, how hard was that for you to find the right people to come in?
It was hard because we wanted the inn to be bought by somebody who would do something with it to benefit the town. It didn't necessarily have to stay an inn, but it could be a restaurant or what do they call them? And like an antique mall kind of thing. But something that would benefit the town. And we had some offers from people who wanted to just collect it but not run it. And we said no. And then there was somebody who wanted to sell off the furniture and just let the building implode.
Oh,
and
no.
And then there was somebody else who wanted to open a restaurant, and we thought, okay, that would be okay. But then COVID closed all the restaurants. So they pulled out. So, yeah, it's been hard trying to find somebody who's willing to uproot their whole life and go live there and run it. There was some people who wanted, they said they would run it on weekends, but they were going to live in this other town and just come on weekends when they had reservations. But, you know, if something happens during the weekday, they're 4 hours away.
Right.
So, yeah, that didn't go through. But then the new owners, they're willing to, I mean, they moved here from Nebraska, and they just picked up everything, and they moved out here, and they moved in, and they're going to live there full time. And yeah, it was kind of hard to find somebody, but you know, it happened eventually. They said that they'd been wanting to do it for a long time, and it'd been haunting them just like it haunted us.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because there had to have been a conversation about that, because you'd want them to know what they're getting into.
Well, they have come, and they were guests there several times.
So they know exactly what they're getting into.
Yes, they do.
Because
And they've had experiences there before and already. And we asked Mary on the pendulum if she approved of them, and she gave an enthusiastic yes.
Because the spirits were given last say on any of the contracts that we were thinking about doing, and most of them were turned down, and we understood why. So we always told the spirits, we will bring people in that may want to do it, but you get the last vote, and whatever the vote is from you, we will live with. So we went through that process with them, and we wanted to make sure that they would be happy with us doing it. And one of the things that they told us early on when we first decided to sell it was, they went through that in their lives, and they know the torment it goes through giving up something that they love. And they said, but you have to understand, it's like a torch. You have to pass the torch on, and the torch, it gets passed on to the right people. It's the right thing to do. So that was the incentive that they gave us to continue on with the idea of selling it.
I just think you would feel a lot of responsibility. Because
it does. It's a historic site. 90% of the furnishings in the inn are original to the hotel. It's on a National Historic Register. And the two previous owners were basically owners. They weren't caretakers of a historic site. And when you take on the attitude, it's a historic site, and you're a caretaker of it,
there's a lot of responsibility with that. And right. that's kind of the pressure we had to keep it going that way, is we want to pass on that attitude to somebody else.
And do you also feel the responsibility of all the spirits that are there, that you want to leave them in good hands, that you
that
want...
That's why they got a vote. Once they said, because they know people's personalities and what they're going to do. And what once they gave the vote with a enthusiastic yes, we proceeded on. We did turn other contracts down because we didn't get that. And we were going to continue on with that feeling that they, this is their home. They get the right to say who's there and who's not there.
Well, for all these years that you've had it, you've included them in things, you know. They're,
oh, yeah.
Like, it really does. The way you talk about the inn, it's very much like a family.
That's the way we treat them, yes. And we feel that way. And they go on some of them go on vacations with us because they're part of the family, and others stay and watch the inn while we're gone. And it's a very close-knit group we have there.
So I have to ask then, do you think some of them are so attached to you both that they might, or have they already gone to the farm with you?
They have already come. They actually asked us in one session we had with them, if someone said, can we come to the farm? And we said, anybody who wants to is welcome at the farm. And we know that some will never leave the inn because that's their home and they want to take care of it. But we said, if you want to join us at the farm, you're all welcome. And we know there's some here.
Can you sense, because you've spent so much time with them, do you just have a sense of who it is, like when you feel a presence?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like so distinctive as Josephine. Maybe not every spirit's like Josephine the cat. But
yes, when Mary's around, see, she died of a heart attack. So I get this very heavy feeling on my chest. So I know that's Mary. And Frank died of an aneurysm in his brain. And so when he's around, I get a really strong stabbing in my head. And when Curtis is around, he died in a fire. So I kind of get a tingly feeling in my neck for some reason. And then there was one that died of appendicitis, I think. And several people who have stayed in that room get a sharp pain in their side. And I'll tell them that that's the girl that died of appendicitis, and they just need to acknowledge that they, you know, message received kind of thing, and then it goes away. She's just kind of wants people to know what happened to her.
Is that the kind of thing you can't really have that conversation, or can you, before they stay in the room, say, just in case you get this stabbing feeling, because you don't want to put that in their heads.
Right.
It's sort of a don't ask, don't tell. So if people come in and they don't say anything, like they're hoping to have some kind of experience or indicate that they know that the place is haunted and they're looking for an experience. So if they don't say anything, we don't say anything, because you have to be sensitive to it. We could go to a hotel and I'll pick up on a spirit and Chuck doesn't. Yeah. If they're looking for it, they'll find it. Mm-hmm. If they don't know about it, there's no sense in putting that in their head, scaring them off. Because if they're not looking for it,
it won't happen.
Nothing's going to happen anyway.
One thing, whenever I'm doing an interview with somebody, I always do a deep dive and read all kinds of things. And people had the most wonderfully nice things to say about both of you on Yelp reviews and different sites that where people can leave reviews. They just were so complimentary of you both. And how kind you were, and your breakfasts apparently are wonderful. It was just really sweet. It said a lot about you both, just reading those comments.
Yeah. Well, we've had 22 and a half years of meeting some really, really nice people.
We have family all over the country because people, our guests become a part of our family.
Well, and I would imagine when they come back, it's still, it's like, we're nearby. We'll come see you. We can meet up for lunch.
They do. They'll stop in and see us if they're nearby. There's several people that when they come several times a year and they just walk in the door and go, honey, I'm home.
That's really sweet.
And they have their favorite rooms. And other ones, they want us, their goal is to sleep in every single room.
I kind of like that idea because it seems like if you would have different experiences in different places in the house.
Oh, yeah. Our spirits are not stuck in any particular room, but they do have their favorites. And so, you know, Anna will visit them in room 8 and Harold and Mark here, and they prefer 6 and Curtis likes 7 and Mary's likes 5.
The children in 8 or 4.
The children. Yeah, the children play around room 4. And they just, like I said, they're not stuck there. They just have their favorites. And then Frank, he just walks all over the place.
Like he owns it, because he did.
Well, no, he never owned
it. He never owned it?
No, Mary and Frank helped run it for, I don't know, 80 years or so. But they never owned it because Lewis and Nancy owned it. And then when Lewis died, his son George owned it. But George never ran it. He had a tinsmith shop. His wife, Rebecca, and his daughter, Fanny, ran it. And then when George died, then Fanny inherited it. And then Mary and Fanny ran the boarding house until Mary died there on the 3rd floor in New Year's Day 1911. So they ran it, but they never owned it.
So really, he's walking around like the manager of the place.
That's right.
So yeah. If you two are retiring and you have a farm, it sounds like there's not a lot of retiring that gets to go on.
I don't know what that word is in my vocabulary. I love working.
And Chuck and our daughter still work at Hy-Vee. And I have a sewing business. So, yeah, we stay pretty busy.
Yeah, you're not retiring by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But the wonderful thing is you're nearby, so you can still stop in and visit.
Yes, we can visit or we can run out there if they have a problem or a question.
Or insit.
Or insit if they want to go take a vacation. Yeah. We can go insit for them.
Yeah, I like that you can still be part of it. Because I can tell in your voices it would be so hard for you to just walk away completely because you are invested. And you do very much feel like family.
It is hard, but we haven't yet, because we were only going weekends, we haven't had a weekend yet where we haven't been there, but that's coming up.
You guys, you might find you really enjoy those weekends off.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna go take a vacation and go visit my mom, and Chuck and our daughter are going to go to our son's house for Thanksgiving. So travel hasn't been really easy lately. So we're going to do some traveling.
Good. Well, I wanted to say thank you so much for the time. And I'm glad I reached out when I did and I was able to talk to you both.
Yeah, thanks.
It was very interesting. And I love hearing the way you speak of them and all the respect that you have for them.
Well, if you have any questions of haunt you after this interview, don't hesitate to call or email us so that we can answer anything that bugs you.
Hey, absolutely. Thank you for that. And that wraps up our conversation about the Mason House Inn. For more information, visit their website at themasonhouseinn.com, and you can also find them on Facebook. If you'd like access to all of our episodes, including the archive and all the advance episodes, everything without the commercials, become a Gravekeeper. Sign up on Apple Podcasts, where you can try it for 3 days free, and you can also sign up on patreon.com/thegravetalks. I'm Carol Hughes, and for all of us at The Grave Talks, thank you for listening.